Do you know who you are? That's who you are. Do you love who you are? That's the question that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry I came in late. I don't normally do that. I'm sorry I didn't get to shake your hand and greet you this morning. I'm kind of rolling in from our coffee with Chris today, and it was a time of sweet fellowship. And if you have the opportunity, we share stories, and we just shared stories of what God has done for us all this last hour. So it was just moving. The power of testimony is just so strong. In Revelation 12, it talks about they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I get to share those testimonies in coffee with Chris, and people tell their stories of how they came to the Lord and how what God has done through them and for them and how that he's saved them. And so that's what I've been doing. So I'm kind of pumped up a little bit. And I don't normally wear a jersey on Sunday morning, just so you know. This is NFL Jersey Sunday, and I love it. And I don't get normally... I just feel like winging a football up to that Miami Dolphin jersey up in the balcony, but I'm afraid I'd miss it or I'd hit a light or hit somebody in the face or something. But I just kind of in that kind of mood today. But we're glad you're here, and if you're a guest this morning, I hope you'll stop by and go to our Welcome Center. We've got a gift for you and want to share that with you. And if you're following along and like following along with an outline, we have a hard copy outline. A lot of times it's in your bulletin, but if it's not, you can get it at the Welcome Center. And we're on FCC. We have an FCC app. You can follow along your outline that way or NewVersion Live. But we want you to follow along and know where we're heading in our message. That's what we kind of do every week. And so I haven't checked in yet this morning. Just had a crazy Sunday morning. And so want you to check in and be an influence on your friends and whoever on social media and like us. And so, like I said, this is NFL T-shirt and jersey day, so I brought my football with me, and I even deflated it a little bit for you New England Patriot fans. I'm really sad about that. Sorry up there in the balcony. I just want to send you, Tom Brady, my condolences, and I'm sad for you. And whoever put on the plug number 12, Tom Brady, with me in that jersey, shame on you. Just have to share that. I also want to shamelessly plug our next sermon series. We're going to go into 1 John. I'm really looking forward to it. It's called Love in the Real World. And we're going to be preaching through, or I'm going to be preaching through 1 John. I'm really looking forward to it because this is an old apostle sharing, and basically he's writing, dear younger me, and just, it's all about love, but it really is applicable and relevant, and it's need meeting, and so I hope you join us next week as we start 1 John, if you want to get ready, 1 John 1, 1 through 4, and I'm reading through 1 John every day as I'm preparing this message series, and it's just going to be awesome. So just hang with me. God has a lot to say through the Apostle John. But before I get started this morning, I just want to take a moment to reflect on the date. This is 9/11, a day that we will never forget. It's a moment in my history where if I would go back to that moment, I can feel the feelings. I know exactly where I was when those airliners hit the World Trade Center that no longer stand. Grieved in that moment, felt compassion for those people that were jumping out of those skyscrapers to their death. They began a day like any other normal day that ended in their deaths. And we just want to take a moment to remember them and those that gave their lives, the emergency responders, those police officers, those firemen, those emergency technicians, the ambulance and the EMTs and all of those folks that gave their life and changed our history of how we feel safe in this country. And for the military personnel that gave their lives and their limbs and that are walking wounded with PTSD, and still some of those emergency responders, I was watching the news the other night that are still suffering from lung disease because of the ashes that they breathed in those moments. They can't have a normal cookout that we might celebrate today because that reminds them of burning bodies. That changed us. That changed us. But they sacrificed that we might have. And I can't do this without emotion because of what they did. And it reminds me of what, when we celebrate communion and what Jesus did, that we might have freedom, that we might have safety and security. I'm reminded of that every time I look at 9/11 and think. And we've got a lot of folks that are police officers and correctional officers and military personnel of all different persuasions in our congregation. I had a high-level conversation at Taco Bell on Friday. A lot of police officers were there. But one of our young men who serves in our police department here, you know, came over and talked to me, and we visited and things. He's the same guy that picked me up or tried to pick me up when I was rained out. I was riding my bike and I was standing under the overpass on I-70. His wife saw me, drove by, and called him and said, "You better go pick up Chris. He's stranded." That's what happens in a small town. And so he stopped by and said, I'm not leaving my bike there. But that's what happens. But every day when I see those guys, when I see those women who are at a moment's notice willing to give their lives for us and for our safety and security, I got to stop and say thank you. Thank you for your service, what you've done. Will you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to be together and for this time to remember and to reflect and to thank and appreciate for sacrifice given and lives given that we might have freedom and security and freedom to worship the way we do. And Father, most days we take that for granted. And again, we got to say thank you for our spiritual freedom, that you broke the bondage of sin and death by sending your Son, because you loved us, and he gave it all that we might have it all. And I thank you, Father, for him, and we pray through him. In Jesus' name, amen. So, now we've anticipated this Sunday for a long time. And over the last 5 weeks, we've talked about being a follower of Jesus, being committed to the Word of God, being a servant, being a worshiper, and being together. Mark did an excellent job preaching last week. Now, some people who regularly attend here or give regularly may think that they are a member, but you aren't really. A member is someone who at some point came forward, they responded to an invitation, and they've met with the church leader, they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. If they had not been immersed or baptized, they followed through with that. They were willing to say, "I'm all in." They were obedient. And that's what we hope will happen with many of you who are recommitting. And those who've already made a decision, and many of you have never become a member, maybe today will be the day that you say, "I'm all in." I sincerely believe that God is doing something great through this church. And as we do our best to follow Jesus completely, and as we have approached this "I'm all in" Sunday, I thought about a time in Scripture where God's people were facing a decision point. When they were pinned in, it was a defining moment, and they were challenged to deepen their commitment to God. And that story is found in Joshua chapter 24, the first five verses. Joshua 24, the first five verses. Scripture teaches us what it means to be part of God's people. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. So Joshua begins by recounting this amazing spiritual history of the children of Israel, reminding them of what all that God had done for them through those years. And perhaps the most striking detail was that of Abraham's past. Abraham, simply put, was a pagan. He was living in the ancient Near East, but God got a hold of him. God got a hold of him. And God has a way of getting a hold of us, doesn't he? God is reminding his people of what he has done for them in the past. And in the next few verses, he gives specific details to remind them of his power and his faithfulness. So when it comes to being a part of something God is doing and doing here, there are three lessons we can learn in Joshua chapter 24. And the first one's this: it's not about what we can do, it's about what God has done. Joshua reminds the people of everything God has done for them. And we read in verse 5 that he had brought them out of Egypt where they had been for 400 years. That's a pretty big deal. But that's not all. The next few verses, it will go on about parting the Red Sea and providing food for over a million people daily in the desert, and also protecting them in their battles. You see, God's intervention and involvement resulted in Israelite lives being spared. God did it. In fact, if you know much of the story of Exodus and in Joshua, you know that the last people that deserved God's kindness and goodness was the Israelites. They actually did more complaining than they did praying. They did more whining than they did worshiping. And as the people finally were ready to enter the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert, Joshua makes certain and sure to remind them about God's extravagant grace he has displayed to them. Nothing about the past 40 years of God's provision and protection had anything to do with Israel earning God's favor. It was a gift. It's those of us who are members of this church, as we get ready to renew our membership, I want to make certain that we all remember any personal spiritual change that you've experienced in your life is not the result of First Christian Church. It's not because of a leader. It's not because of a volunteer. Any spiritual change that has taken place in your life has happened because of the Lord. That's it. Nothing else. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God has done. And after Joshua reminds the people of their need for God, he reminds them that we must be grateful for the past as we move into the future. First Christian Church's history has been one of faithfulness. We have a long heritage of godly people who have sacrificed and served faithfully over 158 years. And many of you are about to recommit to membership or join this church for the very first time because of how God moved in the lives of leaders and volunteers decades ago before you ever came to First Christian Church. Over the last few days, I made a list of people that have made a difference. And these aren't all of them, and it's not exhaustive. Bill Huffman, he had a vision for purchasing this piece of ground that our campus resides on in the 60s. Betty Huffman, who had a heart for missions and giving to the church, and she was a children's teacher. She taught me when I was a little kid. She taught forever. Charlie and Annabelle Devlin, huge Sunday school supporters. Helen Slack, who is a church organist forever. Archie Hamm, who is a leader in the community and the church. Harry Holloway, who was a preacher in a difficult time of transition for First Christian Church. Harold and Charlotte Britton. Charlotte was a high school Sunday school teacher into her late 60s. And as a couple, they were for anything that would reach the next generation of young people. I wish I would have known them. I love people like that. Virginia Gray, who was a preschool teacher who loved kids to Jesus. Marvin Schottmeyer, Beek Swerdjian, those guys were 30-plus year elders and leaders. Kenny Crabb, teacher of the Daughters of Ruth class, an elder, a church leader, and a trustee. Wilbur Jones, an elder for 30-plus years and who still today serves and helps out in any way that he can. Lyle Manette, a man that as he ministered and as he was retired, became more and more faithful to the Lord and made a difference in my life and my kids' lives. Those are just a few that I've been told about or I know about. There's more, many, many more, who have been used of the Lord. We are building on a firm foundation. Someone has said, if you ever have seen a turtle up on a fence post, you know he had help getting there. And that's true. And we have had a lot of help getting here. I want to underscore, and we must never forget, we can't take for granted the sacrificial service that so many people gave. The faithfulness of God's people. I'd rather commit to a church that has a bright future than to a church that has a glorious past. But we're really spoiled around here because we have both. Death comes when the memories of our past supersede the vision of our future. Joshua reminds the people of God's faithfulness and provision, but he doesn't just leave it there. Look at verse 14 of Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's interesting how Joshua approaches it. He gives options that seem shocking. He actually says you can choose the old gods that your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates. Or you can choose the new gods of the Amorites where you are now living. You see, what he's doing is he's setting them up. And so in the next verse, in verse 16, it continues. And then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So at this crucial point in Israel's history, Joshua clearly called for their commitment. He's told the people who they are because of who God is. And now he asks them a question. And you know what he's asking? He's asking this. He's asking, are you all in? Are you with me? And what's crystal clear in this passage is the third lesson. God just doesn't want part of you. God wants all of you. Joshua tells the people clearly that if they choose God, they can't have their idols too. If they want to say, I'm all in what God is doing, then they have to get rid of the other things that steal their attention and their time and their worship of the one true and living God. A lot of people mistakenly think that the Christian life is something that you can compartmentalize. What I mean by this is they mistakenly think that it's like a chest of drawers. And this top drawer, this is my work life, and the next drawer is my family life, and the next drawer is my hobbies, and this smallest one that is way down here is my spiritual life. We have this tendency to kind of compartmentalize. And that is so far removed from the picture of what God wants us to have. When you make a commitment and say, I want to be a part of God's family, it's a 24/7 proposition. We're trying to flesh out and live out what the gospel looks like. You don't act one way when you're with your work friends and another way when you're with your church friends. You're consistent. You're the same. And Joshua told God's people, it is time to make a commitment, and now is the time for us to as well. If you're already a member today, you need to say, I'm still all in. If you're not a member of FCC and you're contemplating membership and you're not ready yet, we're not going to force you. You've heard us talk about this enough. If it's not right today, that's okay. Our prayer is that it will be right, all right today. And if it's not, then it will be soon. Now, if you have a child or children and they are members already, they will go through the same process that you do if you're previously a member. But if your children are not members and haven't gone through this, then rest assured that they don't need to go through this until they are ready to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior of their life and to be baptized into Him and to talk with someone about that decision. So if you weren't a member before, many of you have waited for this weekend. And now is the time, and you want to be all in. And so the way to join the family and to become a member is to come forward, like any other Sunday, like normal, and engage in the process and talk to one of us. And some of you are ready to do that. And talk to us about your commitment to Christ. And to tell us what is on your heart. And after the service, we'll talk. Or maybe we can talk and do that right now. For some of you, that might mean to be immersed into Christ because you've never done it before. For others who have done it, it may mean transferring your membership from another church. Or for some of you, it may mean for the first time in your entire life that you've begun to understand what the gospel message is all about and what Jesus did for you when He left heaven and came to earth to die for you and pay for your sins. And we want to help you on your next step. Can I tell you what the church is? It is a big group of broken people who have made plenty of mistakes in life, but we've swallowed our pride and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's from the penniless to the powerful, from the insecure to the overconfident, from the struggling to the recovering, from the prodigal son who returned to the one who has never left the Father's side. We are First Christian Church. We are a colossal collection of people who are not perfect, but who have chosen to admit that there is one who is. And we firmly believe that God can make a beautiful mosaic out of our lives when we seek to do His work for His glory. Last year, a Christian movie came out, and its title was Woodlawn. It's a story about the 1970s busing and segregation. There was so much violence back then. If you remember that time, there was a lot of racial strife, much like it is today. Only I think it's worse today. In 1973, there was an FCA chaplain, and I want to take a little brief moment here. FCA is restarting here in Clay County. A guy, and I can't remember his name, I want to say his name is Ron, but I'm not for sure what his name is, but he's restarting it, and it's going to hit, it's already hit Sullivan County, it's going to be in Vigo County, it's going to be in Clay County and some of the surrounding, I think in Park County too. It's going to make a difference. And you'll see that on the football field, and you'll see that at halftime. I just think there's going to be a move of God in this, and we're going to see it over the next year or so. I just believe that. And as committed as I have been my life to campus life and student ministry, I just think FCA is going to rock in this valley because it's time. And that's what happened in 1973 in Birmingham, Alabama. There was an FCA chaplain, and he's played by Sean Astin in the movie. And it's actually a true story of the chaplain going to a FCA huddle at Woodlawn High School for the football team and sharing the gospel with all of those players. And in one day, nearly every one of them made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And the story goes on through how all of Woodlawn, the school, and their arch rivals, and the city of Birmingham was transformed for the next decade. And the chaplain's name in real life was Hank Irwin. And he has shared what really happened behind the scenes as he was a chaplain for the team. He shares one story. He said, after nearly the entire team made that commitment and said they wanted to be Christ followers, he said they dedicated their season to Jesus Christ. And the very next game, they were playing, they were overmatched. They were playing against a team that was a 5-touchdown underdog. And he said they went to play, and with 2 minutes left in the game, They were up 3-0. But in the last final 2 minutes, Inslee High School mounted a touchdown drive, and they beat us, he says, 7-3 in the final seconds. And he says, we got back on the bus. It was the quietest bus that he'd ever seen in his life. And if you've ever lost a game like that or ridden with a team, you know what that's like. He says, I was seated there next to Tandy Gerald, who was the head coach. We were driving back in silence, back to Woodlawn High School. And Tandy Gerald, who was not a Christian at the time, he was one of the few that hadn't made the decision. And he elbowed me and he sarcastically said to me, you'd better say something to these players because they were convinced that when they chose God, that he was going to give them the victory. So you better say something to them. And so Hank got up and he turned to those kids and he said, I just want you to know something. He said, sometimes God tests us. He gives us challenges to find out whether or not our motivation for making a decision was right, was true, was pure. You need to know, if you chose Jesus Christ because you thought he was just going to give you wins, you just thought he was some genie in the bottle, you just thought he was a good luck charm for you, then you were mistaken. And you need to decide whether you are going to worship Jesus, whether you win or whether you lose, and you need to make that decision before you get off the bus. And he stared down those lonely rows of silence for about 20 seconds, and then from the back of the bus, one player said, I'm still in. And then another kid on the other side said, I'm still in. And in a matter of minutes, more and more popcorned up until the entire bus was chanting, we're still in, we're still in, we're still in. And God used those student athletes in incredible ways to spread the gospel the next 2 years. God can use you too. Are you still in? I believe the guys, after they passed out communion, gave you one of these cards. Everybody should have one. Now, this is for members of First Christian Church. Unlike what Mark said last week, we did not zero out the membership. You don't need to worry. But I think there are some defining moments, and there's times in the life of a church and in your life where you need to say, I'm still all in. And this is one of those times. I don't know why now. I really don't. But I just see all these converging forces coming together in the life of this church body that says, now is the time. Today is the day. You need to make this decision. I don't know who you're going to serve, but you need to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let me explain this card to you. And I need to preface this by saying this is not a statement of faith because we are repulsed. Our tradition is repulsed by anything that looks like a statement of faith or signing a creed or anything like that because we say there's no creed but Christ, there is no book but the Bible. So this is not a declaration. This is not something that we live and die by. This is something, these are the values that we have chosen, that we prayed over and we believe, and this is what we try to live by. So please read it with me. Not aloud, but follow along with me, okay? First Christian Church, our vision statement is guiding people home to a loving father, a caring family, and a life-changing faith. That's what we want to live. That's what we want to breathe. Loving who we are. That's the name of this sermon series. This has been a values series. And the sermons have been titled, and what is tabbed underneath each one of these sermon titles is the value that we strive to live. We're not perfect. We haven't arrived. We're not there yet. We will probably always be working toward those goals. But we are followers of Jesus. That was the first sermon I preached in this series. We are committed to the Bible. I mean, we are a Bible people. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible's silent, we are silent. We are worshipers. We are together. Unity. We're a unity church. We come out of a unity revival movement. No creed but Christ. No book but the Bible. In opinion, liberty, in essentials, unity, in all things, love. Those are what we live by. We are servants. And then underneath these are the values that you'll see on our webpage that if you research us, and this is what we try to live. Sharing our personal journey, sharing our personal Christian journey. We believe the Bible. God is the center of our lives. This is worship believed and worship applied. Seeking God's will in all that we do. Connecting Christian community through relationships and doing everything possible to reach people. That's what we want to live. We want to impact our community. We want to live for Jesus 24/7, wherever we are, loving whoever God puts us in contact with. Now, what you do here is you can X this or check your box if you're ready to do that, to say you're all in. Again, this is not, and the reason why we're signing it is only so that we will know. Please sign it legibly, but if you're like me and you can't write or sign legibly, print legibly if you can. So nobody's ever going to be able to read that but me. I can identify that. And sign that and put that in offering plate that you're all in. I believe this is a defining moment for you. I really do. If you're around here very long, if you've been around here in the last 5 years, I probably haven't said that ever. But I believe this is a defining moment for you, as us as a body. I don't know what God's got in store for us. I really don't. I know that we've got some big plans. We've got some things happening that are going to be really awesome. But I think God's in this. And like I said, it's converging on this moment. So I just invite you to sign this and place it in the offering plate. Now, if you're ready to be a member after all of that, just come forward during this invitation hymn. I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to pray. So if you would, please stand and I'm going to pray. Father, I know that you're from the beginning and you know our end. And that just boggles my mind. And Father, in this moment, decisions have been made or are being made. And I just pray, Father, that you would draw those that would follow you into membership into this body to make that decision. If they've never made the decision to confess Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, to be obedient in baptism, I just pray that, Father, that would happen today. And Father, I just ask your blessing on these, your people, as we strive to please you in everything that we do, to do everything we possibly can that others might know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. Father, I thank you for moments like these, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.